Well, good morning. I'd love to add my welcome to the bands and everyone else who's been part of the service already this morning. It is good to be here. So, we have been exploring a short series about what it means to walk well in our journey with Jesus. What are some of the healthy steps we can take to grow on our journey and grow in our faith? Over the last two Sundays, we've looked at believing and being baptized, those foundations of our faith. And then last week, Andrew talked us through connecting, finding that community, finding those people around us, and how we can engage with the Bible that will help us grow in our next steps. This week, we're looking at serving and sowing. We've been invited by God to do all of these things, and we'll all be at different points on our journey, but they're really central to our growth as disciples. This morning, we're going to look a little bit more about serving, what it means, why we do it, and why it might have an impact on sowing the seed of God's word. So, a little bit about me. Some of you might know me well, some of you might not. So, a little introduction. You might have seen me getting involved in different ways around the church over the last few years. I've been involved in the church since 2008, just after I got married, and that apparently is now 17 years ago. Who knows? Time flies. We've added two children to our lives who add to the general joy and busyness, and I also teach part-time. I'm a reception class teacher currently, which I love. As you can probably tell from all of that, I am no trained theologian, but I speak from the heart this morning about serving and my experience of doing that and seeing it in action. In the time we've been here at Christchurch, we've served in lots of different ways. I've been part of welcoming and youth team and children's team, Sister Soul, leadership team, not all at the same time, I hasten to add. There is seasons for serving, and that's important to think about and keep that balance as you serve. Currently, my role on the leadership team is called Discipleship and Serving. That might give you a clue as to why I've been asked to speak this morning. I am really passionate about supporting people as they serve and as they grow as disciples of Christ. So I speak from the heart this morning as I talk to you about that. We're so blessed with people here at Christchurch who serve from the heart in so many different ways. I mean, just thinking about the service this morning, how many actions it took just to put all of this together. And that's before we even begin to think about our work looking out into the community. In my preparation for this, I sent a few messages and asked people to tell me their why and some of the maybe the impacts that they've seen. So I've sprinkled through a few of those quotes through my talk this morning. But if I'm honest, I probably could have just read you out those emails and you would be equally inspired. So I do encourage you, when you see someone serving or you know someone serves within the church, ask them why. Maybe you think it looks like hard work, but why do they do it? Why do they get up and come and do that? And maybe ask them what impact they've seen. And I guarantee you will be inspired. I know sometimes working and serving in the church has been really fun. It's been collaborative, it's been community, and it's been really positive. But we have to be honest that sometimes it's felt more like hard work. There are challenges, sometimes trying to find enough team or just getting things off the ground, or you see something you want to do and you can't see a way to do it. And those challenges are to be faced as well. So we really need to be clear about why we're doing this. Why bother at all with serving? So I thought, preparation, I have been thinking about this for a while, I thought we'd start with a who, a what, a when, a where, and a why. I love a good pattern, trips off the tongue. But as I thought about it more, I realised that unless we start with our why, then the rest of it doesn't really make sense. So in the end, I've ended up with a why, a who, a where, a what, and a when. Anyway, I hope it makes sense as we go along and you can see what I've done. Feedback at the end. Actually, no, don't. So let's start with a why. Why do we serve? So last week, Andrew talked to us about becoming more Christ-centered. He showed this about how we can explore, grow, become closer to Christ. And really exploring Christ, again, leads us to become more Christ-centered, more like Jesus. So I thought, if we're going to become more like Jesus, we need to go back to our Bibles, back to that growing section, thinking about what is Jesus' example? How did he show us to serve? What was his example? And actually, as you turn your pages through the Gospels, on almost every page, there is a story about Jesus serving someone. He healed, he helped, he talked, he listened. Every time he met with people, he had that heart to get to know them and to find out what they needed. In fact, there's so many stories. I am not even going to scratch the surface of them this morning. So do have a look, maybe in your quiet times or in your study groups this week, at a few more of those stories. But one of my favourite stories is after the resurrection. It comes up in chapter 21 of John's Gospel. And the disciples aren't with Jesus. They are out fishing in a boat. They've been out all night and they haven't caught anything. They're tired. They're probably pretty grumpy. And they are not done. But they see a glimmer of someone on the beach. There's a flicker of a fire and a voice says, "Throw your nets out on the other side." And they know that voice. They listen and they throw out their nets and they haul in the most enormous catch of fish. And as they row their heavy boat back to the shore, they see Jesus on the beach with that fire and he's prepared them breakfast. He's not only thought about the fact that they need their fish for their livelihood, for their future, but they need something now. They're tired, they're hungry, they're probably cold. Made a fire and he's got them breakfast ready. He's met their need and he's provided something more. He's provided that community, that conversation, that time to sit and talk and listen together. So often around a table or around food, whether it's a picnic on the beach or a table in a home. When he was preparing his disciples for leaving them at that last supper he had with his friends, he gave them this message. "A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He used love a lot of times in that one, didn't he? So we love and we serve one another. And we also look outwards. We look outside our church, outside our church family. And we put that into our Christchurch why. When we write up on the website and on some of our paperwork, we put this tagline, don't we? Because people matter to God. People matter to God. Every single person here and all of the people outside our walls. Everyone matters. That's our why. That's our church why. It shapes what we do. But each of us will have our own why. One of our team, in the messages I sent out, came back with this message about their own personal why. They said, "My motivation comes from my desire to try and follow Jesus' perfect example of showing and sharing God's love. And ultimately, I have a hope that by doing this, others who don't yet know Jesus will come to know him for themselves. I'm also motivated by Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats when he says, 'The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" That's really inspiring, isn't it? And as we think day to day about what our motivation is, turn back to those words, turn back to those passages and think about why Jesus cared. Why did he know who he cared about? So who do we serve? We've got a purpose, but how do we know who to serve? Again, I looked back into the Gospels and this is one of my favourite parables, probably a really familiar one to each of you, the story of the Good Samaritan. The question that Jesus had been asked was not about serving. An expert in the law was challenging Jesus and trying to trip him up, really, about how to inherit eternal life and what the heart of the law was. The questioner knew that he was to love the Lord with all he had and also to love his neighbour. We pick up the story with him further challenging Jesus from Luke 10, verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think were a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I love how practical this story is, how quick to help the stranger was. It wasn't a quick fix. The Samaritan man took time and money to help the injured man, even coming back later to check on him and to settle the bill. When anyone is in need, they are our neighbor. That's what Jesus said. What was that phrase he said? When he saw him, he took pity on him. Or in the New Living Translation, he felt compassion for him. But just feeling compassion wasn't enough. It led to action. Jesus' story was one of radical generosity. Not doing just enough. He could have just bandaged him up and given him a drink and sent him on his way. But he goes far beyond what could have been expected by that man or anyone. How often do we go above and beyond, I wonder, when we see a need? Who do we feel compassion for? What stories or pictures or images make our heart quicken? Sometimes it's where God prompts us. That's the person I want you to help. We feel that pause and that call. Jesus finished that story by saying, "Go and do likewise." Our challenge: have a think about your who is this week. We'll all be inspired differently. That's why this works so well. Alice, one of our youth leaders, told me about their who. She said this: "So I work with our youth because I love the stage of life they're at, that they're ready to start questioning things and really finding their faith for themselves. I had wonderful youth leaders in my childhood, and I want to serve a similar role in our youth's lives. It's fantastic after the effort and planning that goes in when our youth say that our weekend away was an amazing experience and brought them closer to God." That's great, isn't it? That's her why. She'd have great role models herself, and she loves that age group, so she wants to serve them. Yours will be different, and that's why we can serve together. But we're thinking about our why, and we're thinking about our who, but where do we serve? Well, I think quite often, right where we are. We serve in our church, and we look out into our community. And I think it's good to keep those in balance. Sometimes we're serving in, and of course we need so much help to make Sundays happen and work within our community in so many different ways. But balancing it with looking outwards, because all people matter to God. I think it's also important to consider that serving changes through our life seasons. I know when my girls were little, I was able to be at toddler groups, engaging and chatting. I could empathise with the parents that were there, and that was a season for me. But then as life and work and other commitments moved on, I needed to lay that down. That wasn't my time to do that anymore. And each of you will be at different stages and have different times. Sometimes people are called to a completely different where. We've heard over the months leading up to the summer holidays from each of our different mission partners in our all-age times in our service. And those were people who were often called away from their one local place to a completely different where. But that was for them. It might be for you. Who knows? You need to listen and discern. Joe, who runs our Christchurch Community Space Ministry, which is on Tuesday afternoons here at our Pear Tree Cafe, told me this about her ministry. She said, what motivated us to start this ministry was a desire to serve local, mostly non-church people, providing a safe space to meet and literally do life together with people by listening and supporting and offering any particular knowledge we had about local services. We also provide tea and coffee and fresh fruit. In her message, she also talked about the strength of the team, the way their different skills and talents work together, listening, counselling, knowing about health and other local services, and that consistency to be there week after week over many years now, seeing some of the same people really regularly and others occasionally. Leads me to our when. When do we serve? I've got a little video here which might just help us to think about that a little. Thank you. Tell from the video, but it's absolutely pouring down with rain, and they're stood there waiting for their football match to start. This is happens to be an American team, and that footballer stood there in his warm coat. He saw a need. He saw that little boy shivering in front of him and realized he could help. But he only had one coat. He could take his coat off and he could help that little boy. The person next to him noticed, and that impact rippled onwards. I think serving can feel a bit like that, can't it? You think there's only one me. I can only be in one place. I can only do one thing. There's so much need. How can I do that? But actually, that was a little picture of what sometimes happens. If you step up and say, right, well, I can help in this way. And someone else says, well, I can help in this way. And suddenly that community comes together and that ripples out into many more actions. Often we plan how we serve, we look at our commitments, we sign up to a rota, we say, yes, I can help with that activity, or I can bake for that. And then I think we think, right, serving's in place. But do we leave that little window open? Do we leave our heart open for those little nudges when there's something that just is a need right now? Sometimes we talk about tithing, maybe when we give financially of the things that we have. And we talk about doing that first. When we look at our week, do we think, where can I serve? Or do we put in all our work and activities and commitments and then kind of think what little corners are left? Obviously, we have to balance our lives, but how do we prioritise serving? Rachel, who cooks for our Friday night youth ministry, The Mix, said that she heard a request in a service for someone to cook for the group, and she said this, I felt my heart quicken. And I felt God nudging me to respond to the request for someone to cook meals for the young people. It's a way of showing and sharing his love in a really practical way with the gifts he's given me. She had the gifts of cooking and she felt that call. She felt that I could do that. And she had the time to put those things together. And she's part of a beautiful ministry serving those young people on a Friday evening. And looking into Jesus' story, he served. He served when it was needed, when he met people, and when he saw a need. He was even criticized for healing on the Sabbath, but he'd met someone, and they needed something, and he could provide it, so he did it there and then. Sometimes our serving needs more planning. We prepare, we do admin, we make ready for a service or an activity. Other times it can be more spontaneous. You hear a call and you think, I can do that. There's a gap in the Meals for Mums rota for that new family. Huh, I've got a portion in my freezer that I froze for another day. That will fit the bill. I can get that out and I can do that easily. So what we do fits our all of those things. How do we do it? What do we do? How do we know what to do when we come to serve? But I think we can do what feels natural to us if we serve willingly, like Jesus. We can see a need. We can hear a call. And when we've got the shape, when we've got the skills and talents and gifts that are needed for that call, sometimes it won't fit our shape, but other times it will. Some people have gifts in music. I definitely don't get up here and sing. That is not my shape. But maybe you've got gifts in music, in listening, in teaching, in welcoming, caring, praying, supporting, loving people. Some people have really practical skills, fixing things, technical skills, baking, cooking, understanding finances, administration. That mixture of gifts and skills and talents makes each of us unique, and God has ways to use every single one of us. Sometimes we find something that just fits our shape, leading a Bible study, organizing, baking, running events, praying, supporting people, listening. But there are sometimes things that just need to get done. If we're honest, after we've run a great event, tidying up at the end can seem a real chore. But actually, working together in our community, putting some music on, having a chat, it can lighten the load, doing it alongside people. Sometimes we need to be on our own. We're baking, we're preparing a Bible study, administration, but it's always for someone. It's for a purpose. As Rachel prepares that meal, she knows that it will be eaten and appreciated. And I was thinking about that last week as I was sitting here listening to Andrew, and I was looking at that word hope. We've written it large, and it is our why. It is our reason. We know we have a hope and a future, and we want to share that with others. And as we do that, we serve. People will see that hope. Andrew spoke last week about making connections in the community, how it can be hard work. It's effort, but it is worthwhile. And I think as we serve, we find that value, that it actually goes both ways. As we meet someone, we learn their name, we take time to see them as a person. Also, we feel our purpose, our sense of community, who we are in Jesus. And it moves us to being more Christ-centered, more Christ-like, as we grow on our own journey. This quote from Debbie, who heads up our Body and Soul Cafe ministry on Wednesdays and Thursdays over at Parkway, said this: "At Body and Soul, our customers often tell us we are the best restaurant in town." I think they're right. "We do serve delicious home-cooked meals, but we provide something more than that. It's a place where friendships are made and strengthened, a place where people feel valued and listened to, and a place where we show God's love in a really practical way. I like to think of Body and Soul a bit like a bridge. We connect the local community with Christchurch, and the invitation is there for them to just explore, for our customers to explore further. Many of them now attend events like Songs of Praise or Harvesters." Isn't that an amazing testimony? And it brings us perfectly to our "so" part of our title for today, that sowing the seeds of God's love isn't separate from serving. It's an outcome of serving. If we do that with our love and with our hope, then people see that in us. We've a church, we've worked on a Vision 100 as we approach our 100th birthday. We've kind of set out a path to trying to aim for a new vision for that. And that is to be a beacon of hope in Jesus' name, and to be people who are led by Jesus, who live like Jesus, and who lead people to Jesus. And I think if we're serving, and serving not just in our church community, but outside as well, then we can all begin to imagine what that might lead to. As you serve, you might find people want to know more about your why. And we've got things like Alpha or Big Questions that you can invite people to if they want to know more. And to be ready to offer them something. Perhaps it's good to practice in your small groups or life groups or with a friend, just something of your story that you would share with someone if they ask about your why. What is that hope you have, that love, that forgiveness, that hope that you hold on to? Peter talks about this in his letter. He's been talking about doing good and not being afraid of doing good, not being afraid of what people will say. And he finishes like this. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect. There is that word hope again. The thing we have that we want to share. I think it links beautifully to our verse for the year as well. Can we be the light? Are we that beacon that shines out, whether it's body and soul or the mix or harvesters or toddler group or any of the activities we offer? What is it that people see in that that's different from the rest of their life? So be ready. Be ready to see a need. Be ready to feel that heartbeat, to know your why and to keep what you do to share the love of God in our church, but in our community as well. If you don't serve yet, or you feel like you've got a little more time, or you feel some kind of tug, do come and chat to one of the team, or have a look on our website. We've got a serving page. It's got a list of contacts for people. All of our leaders would love to have you come and visit. There's no need to commit 100% straight away. If you want to visit some groups and see what they're like, see what the activities are, perhaps you don't know what a chair-based exercise class is or what happens at Body and Soul or one of our other activities, then pop along and find out. They would be delighted to welcome you. So many opportunities. We're looking for an admin lead for our trustees. There's people making cakes for outreach events, supporting our youth and children's work, tech teams, so many things. So listen out and see when you're called. Maybe you can feel something in you, but you're not quite sure what. Do come for prayer ministry later. Chat with someone, pray to someone for God to guide you, to give you a vision of what it is he has for you. Because I know he's got something for each of us to do. So I think we have a plan for walking well now. We're taking steps on our journey, believing, baptizing, connecting and growing. And are we serving? Are we sowing those seeds? As I finish, I'd love to invite the band to come back up. We're going to sing in a moment. This I believe. It's the word of the creed, which has been around a long time. And I think it sums up our faith journey, but also this series. What is it that inspires us? What is it that hope we have pinned on? I'm going to finish by reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. And perhaps we can each make us this own prayer for the week to come. Let's pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.